Morning Watch, Romans Week 1, Romans 1 through Romans 4. Friday, Related Verses. Romans 3:21 through 31. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, witness being borne to it by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ, to all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation place through faith in his blood, for the demonstrating of his righteousness, in that in his forbearance God passed over the sins that had previously occurred, with a view to the demonstrating of his righteousness in the present time, so that he might be righteous and the one who justifies him who is of the faith of Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Through what kind of law? That of works? No, but through the law of faith. For we account that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. If indeed God is one, who will justify the circumcision out of faith and the uncircumcision through faith? Do we then make the law of no effect through faith? Absolutely not. Rather, we establish the law. Related reading. As we come to the subject of the redemption of Christ, we need to consider the atonement in the Old Testament. The atonement in the Old Testament was an expiation. Expiation means to appease God for us, to conciliate God by satisfying his righteous requirements. The expiatory cover rendered mercy seat by the King James Version was the lid of the ark. Under this cover was the law, which was called the testimony of God. Why was it called the testimony of God? Because the law testifies of what God is. God is fully testified and expressed by his law. Above the expiatory cover were the cherubim of glory, signifying the expression of God. Therefore, under the cover was the testimony of God, showing what kind of God he is, and above the cover were the cherubim of glory, expressing the glory of God. The expiatory cover was sprinkled with the expiatory blood. On the Day of Atonement, or as is better to say, the Day of Expiation, the blood of the expiatory sacrifice was shed, brought into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled upon the expiatory cover. That blood was a speaking blood. At that time, some problems existed between God and the people. Everyone had sinned against God and was short of God's glory. Thus, two problems. The problem of sins and the problem of falling short of God's glory existed between God and the people, creating a separation between them. There was no way for them to come together. Although the people needed God's grace, and although God had grace to dispense to them, there was no way for the two parties to approach one another. Expiation was the way. That was the way of atonement. Of that one meant. In the Old Testament times, the way of atonement, that is, of expiation, required a sacrifice in which blood was shed. This blood was brought into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled upon the cover of the ark. As we have seen, under this cover was the law, exposing and condemning the people as they approached God, and above the cover were the cherubim of glory, observing everything. As the blood of atonement was sprinkled upon the cover of the ark, It satisfied the righteous requirements of God's law, and it fulfilled the demands of God's glory. Therefore, upon the expiatory cover of the ark, God could meet with man, speak to man, and fellowship with man in a lawful way, without contradicting his righteousness or glory. It was in this place that God and man were made one. That was the atonement, the expiation. The expiation in the Old Testament was a type of the propitiation in the New Testament. Propitiation is mentioned at least 5 times in the New Testament. In 1 John 2:2 and 4:10, we are told that Christ, the Son of God, is himself the propitiation for our sins. In both places, the word propitiation actually means a sacrifice and should be rendered propitiatory sacrifice. The Greek word in these verses is halasmos, which means that which propitiates, that is, a propitiatory sacrifice. In 1 John 2:2 and 4:10, the Lord Jesus is the propitiatory sacrifice for our sins. Another Greek word regarding propitiation, hilasterion, is found in Hebrews 9:5 and Romans 3:25. Hilasterion means the place where propitiation was made. The proper reference books indicate that the word hilasterion in these two verses means the place of propitiation, and the King James Version renders it as mercy seat. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, hilasterion, is the word for the term mercy seat in Exodus 25 and Leviticus 16. Thus, hilasterion is the place of propitiation. Furthermore, in Hebrews 2:17 is the word hilaskomai, the verbal form of the noun hilasmos. The King James Version translates hilaskomai as made reconciliation for. However, it should be translated propitiate. Christ propitiates for our sins. The matter of propitiation is mentioned 5 times in the New Testament in relation to Christ. Twice it refers to Christ himself as the propitiatory sacrifice. Twice it refers to the place where propitiation was accomplished, and once it refers to the act of propitiation. In addition to these 5 references to propitiation in the New Testament, we find the same root used by the publican in his prayer in the temple. According to the King James Version, the publican prayed, "God be merciful to me." However, the Greek means, "Propitiate for me." The publican actually was saying, "O God, propitiate for me. I am sinful in your eyes. I need propitiation." What is the meaning of propitiation? How shall we distinguish it from redemption on the one hand and reconciliation on the other? If we read the New Testament carefully, we will discover that reconciliation includes propitiation. Nevertheless, there is a difference between them. Propitiation means that you have a problem with another person. You have either offended him or else you owe him something. For instance, if I wrong you or am otherwise in debt to you, a problem exists between us. Because of this problem or debt, you have a demand upon me, and unless your demand is satisfied, the problem between us cannot be resolved. Thus, there is the need for propitiation. The Greek word hilasmos implies that I have wronged you and that now I am indebted to you. There is a problem between us that hinders our relationship. Propitiation, therefore, involves 2 parties, one of which has wronged the other, has become indebted to the other, and must act to satisfy the demands of the other. If the offending party is to appease the offended party, he must fulfill his demands. The Septuagint uses the word hilasmos for the word atonement in Leviticus 25:9 and Numbers 5:8, because this Greek word means to conciliate two parties and make them one. This is a matter of atonement. The word atone is composed of two words, at and one. We may write the word atonement this way, at one ment. Atonement is at one ment. The meaning of atonement is to bring two parties into one. When two parties have been separated and seek to be in oneness, there is the need for propitiation. This is atonement. The act of propitiation is atonement. Propitiation means to make us one with God, because there had been a separation between us and God. What was the problem that kept us from God, that made it impossible to have direct fellowship with Him? The problem was our sins. Our sins kept us away from God's presence and hindered God from coming to us. Therefore, we need propitiation to appease God's demands. Christ accomplished this on the cross when He offered Himself as the propitiatory sacrifice. On the cross, He propitiated for us and brought us back to God, making us one with God. What is the difference between propitiation and redemption? The word redeem means to purchase back something which originally was yours but which had become lost. This hymnal belongs to me. If the hymnal becomes lost and I pay the price of buying it back, I would be redeeming the hymnal. Thus, redemption means to repossess at a cost. We originally belonged to God. We were His possession. However, we were lost. Nevertheless, God did not give us up. He paid the price to have us back, repossessing us at a great cost. This is redemption. Even after we had become lost, He desired to regain us. However, this was not easy for God to do because our being lost involved us in sins and in many other things that were against His righteousness, holiness, and glory. Because we were lost, we had many problems with God in respect to His righteousness, holiness, and glory. We were under a threefold demand, the demand of righteousness, holiness, and glory. Many requirements were laid upon us, and it was impossible for us to fulfill them. The price was too great. God paid the price for us, repossessing us at a tremendous cost. Christ died on the cross to accomplish eternal redemption for us. His blood has obtained eternal redemption for us. The problem of being an enemy is even more serious than the problem that necessitates propitiation. If I am your enemy, propitiation is inadequate. I need reconciliation. Sinners need propitiation. Enemies need reconciliation. Enmity is the greatest problem between man and God. When we were enemies of God, we not only needed propitiation, but also reconciliation. Propitiation mainly deals with sins. Reconciliation deals with enmity as well as sins. Therefore, reconciliation includes propitiation. Romans 5 tells us that before we were saved, we were both sinners and enemies. As sinners, we needed propitiation, and as enemies, we needed reconciliation. Herein lies the difference between propitiation and reconciliation. Propitiation is for sins. Reconciliation is both for sins and enmity. Reconciliation is based upon Christ's redemption and was accomplished through God's justification. Hence, reconciliation is the issue of redemption with justification. In the previous points, we mainly covered the definition of various terms: the righteousness of God, justification, propitiation, redemption, and reconciliation. Once we have the proper definition of these terms, we can understand what it means to be justified. Now we shall deal directly with justification.